Well, hello and welcome to our Science Talks program with Isagenics. My name is Kirsty Cody, your host. Thanks for listening in today. Super excited about today's topic as we're going to be talking about the facts when it comes to sugar. And I think, gosh, with the internet at our fingertips these days, there are so many different things floating around out there on the web in regards to, you know, anything nutrition. And when it comes to sugar in particular, there's some myth busting that we want to do here with you. And we have the amazing David Despain with us today. And for those of you that listen to these podcasts regularly, you've heard him many, many times. We've done countless conference calls and podcasts over the last several years. He's actually been a part of the company for the last 12 years. When the company was only 3 years old, he joined the team. And I think that one of David's proudest achievements is to help the growth of the R&D team, which now consists of over 50 scientists and quality assurance people, product development individuals, clinical researchers, people that are out educating all of you on product and body and science. So we're very excited to have him a part of our team. He's a brainiac. He has his master's degree in human nutrition and also has his certification as a food scientist, which is very cool. He oversees isogenichealth.net, which is our health blog. If you've not been there, it's gorgeous. You can find anything on that health blog and just type in the key search words. It'll take you to previous articles that have been published. And that site, in my opinion, is all about myth busting. But again, today we're going to be talking about sugar. So with that, David, welcome. Glad that you're with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. It's always great to be on this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, sugar. When you think of sugar, I think of the good old fashioned white sugar, granulated sugar, but there's sweetness in every form, it seems like, these days. And I think that when it comes to what's good for you and what's not and in what amount, gosh, I'm so excited to have you on to kind of clarify for everybody. So let me just start off by asking you, just based on the day and age and that we live in right now, are people eating too much sugar?
Definitely. People are definitely eating way too much sugar and carbohydrates and calories from every sort, which has led to what led to people being overweight, basically. In North America, the average consumption of sugar is about 120 grams of sugar per person per day. So that is often in the form of added sugars, so sugars that are added to certain foods. We've all seen this. If you turn over any label, you see where food scientists like me have added sugars to certain foods to make them more palatable, more enjoyable.
Excellent.
I wanted to say that we consume sugars. When we consume sugars in excess of our calorie requirements, that's what contributes to the weight gain. But if you look at the evidence a little bit closely, closer, sugar consumption has actually gone down some in just the last few years. So people are kind of getting the message that they need to avoid sugar, and yet their total calories have still continued to increase. So people are still gaining weight with carbohydrates or other sources of calories. Actually, the amount of sugar that people are eating has gone down just a bit. Also, sugar itself isn't really essentially harmful in itself. I mean, our bodies kind of run on sugar. Our cells run on sugar, and every time that you eat carbohydrates, it doesn't matter what kind of carbohydrates you eat, if it's from fruits and vegetables or from pasta or anything, all of those carbohydrates, they're broken down in your gut to simple sugars before you actually absorb them. So we shouldn't really think about sugar itself as being uniquely harmful. It's only that it tastes good, and we tend to eat too much of that along with other sources of calories as part of our diets. In balanced amounts, sugar can be okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is, we could talk about exactly and go into more detail on what you just shared with us. I mean, because you're right. I think that a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to eat the Snickers bar, but they're more than happy eating one cup of rice, cooked rice. And, or like they don't think about, you know, eating gluten-free bread or regular bread or pancakes, when really a carbohydrate sourced food is going to break down essentially in the same way, correct? As far as, you know, energy for our muscles and our cells, correct?
Yeah. Well, we forget about the, when we're looking at labels, we forget that even in whole foods and rice and even in just fruits and vegetables that we eat every day, there's simple sugars and there's carbohydrates, and those get broken down into sugars. So, mm-hmm. I mean, when people tell me, oh, I don't eat sugar. Oh, Neil, yes, you do. Yes. Yeah, you get them in all sorts of ways. And that's okay as long as it's within a calorie-controlled diet. Sugar and carbohydrates specifically is what runs our immune system. So you know, people get sick if they don't get enough carbohydrate. You know, they especially athletes, they need carbohydrate. Your nervous system, including your brain, runs on sugar. So if you feel like you know, specifically with athletes, they tell them if you're getting the shakes or if you need better concentration, then you probably need more carbohydrate intake. If you want to have a better workout, then you want to, what a lot of athletes do these days is they concentrate their sugars or their carbohydrates around their workouts and avoid them at other times when they don't need them, like around sleep. So they'll eat fewer carbohydrates at night before sleep, but they'll have more carbohydrates around their workouts, for example, so that it fuels that workout, so they have a better workout. So, you know, there's good ways of using carbohydrates and sugars, and there's bad ways. If you're, I like to say, you know, if you're just sitting in front of the TV on the couch eating sugar, that's probably not very helpful. Mm-hmm. But if you are using certain sugars to help fuel activity, well, that's a good way of using of getting the most out of your carbohydrates.
Okay, so the main question of the hour is, are people getting too much sugar with our Isagenix products and supplements? And I know you guys get asked this a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's the reason why I really wanted to have this podcast and why we've recently written about it on our health blog at isagenixhealth.net. We do use modest amounts of sugar. You know, we're a company that doesn't ever use artificial sweeteners in anything. We do use some sugars, and so that does raise some questions from consumers. We get questions at our Ask a Nutritionist booth, at Celebration, and a lot of them are about sugars. And we get those people that say, "Oh, I don't eat sugar, and this has sugar in it." So one of the things that I wanted to explain is that people who actually get on an Isagenix system to lose weight, for example, they drastically reduce their total intake of carbs and sugar. So, for example, recently in our there was evidence of a total reduction in carbohydrate found in the in our Skidmore College study that was done by Paul Arciero, that was performed by Paul Arciero. In that study, we found that subjects who were on our Isagenix system ended up cutting their total intake of carbohydrates by about half and their sugar intake by almost two-thirds. That's despite the fact that we have moderate amounts of carbohydrates and sugar in Isagenix products like our Isolene shake. So they're doing a shake day. People who do shake days end up cutting their carbohydrates in a half and their sugar intakes by almost two-thirds. So that's a big part of the reduction of calories that happens on those days is actually from carbs and sugar. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, Isagenix, we're not trying to portray ourselves as like a pro sugar company. Absolutely not. In fact, people reduce their their carbs and sugars when on an isogenics program. However, we don't go as far as completely cutting out sugar because that's not necessary. Actually, a little bit of sugar is okay.
Wow. Okay. So while you were sharing that, I couldn't help but look up how many grams of sugar is in a medium apple. Do you have a guess?
I know that.
Now you can't look at your science. You cannot look in your science stuff. You got to guess. Cause everybody else is probably thinking,
I imagine that it's about 10 grams.
Close. 19 okay. grams. 19 grams of total 25 carbs, 4.4 grams of fiber, but 19 grams of sugar for a medium apple. And actually, there's less in a banana. I was really surprised. There's 14 grams of sugar in a banana and about 16 grams of sugar in a cup of chunked fresh pineapple. It's good to kind of think about those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I guess when the person is eating just like regular whole foods, in comparison to what we have, because, looking at the shakes, or the bars, or even what you're consuming based on carbohydrate intake on a cleanse day, it's very low. It's amazing. Now, let me just ask you real quick, as far as the carbohydrate load and the sugar content in our products and in our supplements, all considered low glycemic?
Yeah, so we send out the isolene shakes and the bars. We actually send them out for testing. Now, let's just really quickly on glycemic index. Glycemic index is very easy to modify. So you can have something with sugar in it, and if you have it combined with proteins and fats and fiber, you slow that sugar absorption, so that lowers the glycemic index. If you have sugar by itself, or something like potatoes, where the majority is just really simple to digest carbohydrate, then glycemic index goes up. But you could take potato and put it and make it as part of a balanced meal, and the glycemic index will be lowered. So, glycemic index can be a little bit misleading sometimes, unless you think of it in the perspective of a whole meal. So that's mm-hmm. why we take our isolene shake and we test it for glycemic. We test it in individuals to see what the glycemic response would be, but we wouldn't do that for, say, Amped Power. Or one of our other AMP products like AMP Fuel, because sure. in those cases, it's, you're not getting, you don't have these other things. It's not a meal, so you wouldn't test that. And mm-hmm. you would actually want it to be high glycemic because that's during the time when you're exercising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, we tend to use fructose and share with everybody why we use this kind of sugar in our isolene shakes.
Okay, so you just mentioned that isolene shake that a medium-sized apple has about 19 grams of sugar.
Right.
In isolene shake, we have about 11 grams of total sugar, and half of that is as fructose. The amount of fructose is about equivalent to half of what's in a medium-sized apple. So the amount of fructose isn't really that much. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up about fructose is that there's been actually quite a lot of research done on this kind of sugar. One of the reasons is because it is a low glycemic sugar. It's a type of sugar that is metabolized a little bit differently than other types of sugar, which makes it not spike insulin. So in studies where fructose is present as around the same amount as what's in a medium-sized apple, there's been studies, well-designed controlled studies, and also meta-analyses that analyze these controlled studies, and it's very supportive of the use of moderate amounts of fructose for helping to maintain blood sugar, like in folks with diabetes or in normal people. Just fructose can help to Unlike some other sources of carbohydrates, fructose is better for helping to maintain blood sugar levels. And actually, a recent study that was done in Australia, Australia and New Zealand, was a meta-analysis that of controlled trials that basically looked at fructose when used in place of other carbohydrate sources. So this is like fructose replacing other carbohydrates, and those scientists found that the fructose helped to lower effects on blood glucose and insulin response in individuals. So fructose gets a bad rap sometimes because if you eat tons of it, I guess what was something to point out is fructose is a little bit sweeter than glucose and other carbohydrates. So people point out, fructose is sweeter. So it's useful for making products sweet. And that's why you see it in a lot of things. But it's actually, it actually helps to lower the total amount of sugar necessary to sweeten a food like a shake. And it has a lower, it actually helps to lower the effect on blood glucose. So in small amounts or in moderate amounts, in the same amount as an apple, you can be confident that in controlled trials, this is actually a good thing. Now, if you're just drinking, if you're drinking sodas or Slurpee-sized amounts of fructose all the time, then yeah, that would be a problem. And that would still lead to, despite what its effects on glucose or blood glucose, that would still lead to increased calories that can lead to obesity.
Mm. Wow, lots of great information there, David. I want to go into the next part here, and that is that there's a little bit in the media, maybe a lot, saying that fructose is as bad as alcohol for visceral fat. Is this true?
Yeah, this is my favorite question. So fructose, because of its unique metabolism that I mentioned earlier, it's actually metabolized through the liver. And if you have fructose in excess of your calorie needs, so if you are eating fructose in excess of your regular daily calories that you need, then that leads to creation of fat. And specifically, because fructose is metabolized in the liver, we know that in animal studies, specifically mice studies, this excess fructose consumption leads specifically to visceral fat. And so there's a lot of media attention around this is about fructose. Alcohol also gets metabolized in the liver, and alcohol does lead to liver fat or fatty liver. And that has led to speculation about fructose causing fatty liver or increasing visceral fat. And the thing that I want to point out there is that remember that when you're on a calorie-controlled eating plan, like you would be with Isagenix products as part of a 30-day system, that fructose, there's human clinical data, and we have human clinical data basically providing evidence that fructose intake that's in the shakes is completely burned off. It's converted to glucose or glycogen and burned off as energy. So it's not leading to accumulation of liver fat. In fact, in our study on our 30-day system, we actually saw in the subjects significant reductions in not just all body fat, but specifically abdominal and visceral fat. So we saw great reductions in visceral fat. In fact, in our study that we did earlier at University of Illinois Chicago, where we had two groups: people who were on a whole foods diet and people who were on our isoline shakes. The folks who were on the isoline shakes and doing shake days, they lost twice as much visceral fat as did the folks on a whole foods diet within 30 days. So that was that should basically be the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
For those who might suggest that the fructose in isoline shake, which is only the amount of half of an apple, would lead to visceral fat. It's mm-hmm. just not true.
Yeah. I just, it's so poignant here that how valuable our studies are. I mean, they have cost a lot of money to be able to conduct and to be able to have that information on the effects of the Isagenix system on the human body. So grateful that Isagenix was willing to, you know, put themselves out there to discover, you know, at a deeper level what's going on internally when you feed it this incredible nutrition, and how it weighs with, like you said, people on, like, you know, the average Whole Foods diet or something like that. But no, I love that. And for those that are brand new to Isagenix, if you want access to those studies, you can find them on isagenixhealth.net, our blog, on the right-hand side in the column. So go check it out. But let's wrap it up with stevia, because this is, I mean, obviously there's natural sweeteners such as stevia, very concentrated, a little funky in the flavor, I'm not going to lie, right? But why don't we use stevia as a whole with our products?
So that's a really good question. You know, we don't use any artificial sweeteners, but one of the common questions that we get is, well, why not just use stevia and remove all the sugar? We actually do use some stevia. So let me explain what stevia is. Stevia is, again, a natural leaf extract. It's not actually sugar. It's a leaf extract that just tastes sweet, happens to taste sweet because of its chemical makeup. It tastes very sweet. In fact, it's much sweeter than sugar. So you can put stevia into a product and almost completely reduce the content of sugar. You wouldn't get as good a flavor as with sugar. Wouldn't be a source of carbohydrates that you would need in a meal, because stevia provides zero calories. So stevia can be helpful, and we do use it in several products, including Isolate Shake. We use it in helping to reduce some of the sugar. And there's good studies showing that with stevia that it can be helpful for managing blood sugar, but it's not really appropriate as a part of a complete meal replacement. So if you're trying to if you're looking to replace a meal, you've got to have a good balance of protein, carbohydrates, and fat. The carbohydrates should be in there. It is a lot more appealing when some of that sweetness is from sugar. We are hardwired to like sugar, basically. So, you know, a little sugar in the shakes along with stevia is how we like to approach it. And that helps to give it sweetness, but also help balance out carbohydrates that, you know, and again, as a reminder, these carbohydrates, they help to provide you energy. They provide fuel for your physical activity. We could easily produce a shake that was just zero carbs and only protein and vitamins, but it just wouldn't be a complete meal replacement. You do want to have some sugar, and I feel like, you know, if it's at the same level or less than what's in a medium-sized apple, that's totally okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. Well, anything else that you want to share when it comes to sugar and myth busting?
Well, you know, I'll just say that with all of the new flavors that we've been coming out with related to Isolene shakes, it's been quite the task for our developers to be very good about keeping the same amount of sugar in all of those and using, you know, without increasing or decreasing. I feel like our team has done a really good job at just helping to maintain the inherent nutritional profile of the original Isolene shake, and still making our shakes taste fantastic with stuff like pumpkin spice and cookies and cream, and without any extra content of sugar. It's just amazing.
Okay, excellent. Well, I love it. I am so grateful. I don't know what we would do without Isagenix. Seriously, these products are so incredible. The supplements, I mean, day in and day out, I really... honestly look forward to using Isagenics. I actually just completed a 2-day cleanse with my guy, and I'm telling you, you feel so good when we woke up this morning and had our first shake. You just feel so light, so good. And I mean, here we are 15 years later, 15 and a half years later, and I'm still enjoying the 2-day cleanse. So yeah, it's quite the lifestyle and one I'm grateful for. But David, thanks so much for being on with us today, doing a little bit of sugar myth busting with us. And I know that you're coming on again to do a little bit more myth busting on other topics in the future too, right?
Yeah, look forward to it.
All right. And everybody listening in, thanks for being with us. Make sure your teams know where to find all of our podcasts, isogenicspodcast.com. You can subscribe for free. Amazing programs with great information. So take advantage of it. And until next time, best of health. Take care. Bye-bye. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Earning levels for Isagenix independent associates that appear in this publication are examples and should not be construed as typical or average. Income level achievements are dependent upon the individual associate's business skills, personal ambition, time, commitment, activity, and demographic factors. For average earnings, see the Isagenix independent associate earnings statement found at www.isagenixearnings.com. The weight loss testimonials presented only apply to the individuals depicted, cannot be guaranteed, and should not be considered typical. A 2008 university study showed statistically significant weight loss of 7 pounds during the first 9 days of the cleansing and fat-burning system. As with any health or fitness program, a sensible eating plan and regular exercise are required in order to achieve long-term weight loss. If you are pregnant, nursing, diabetic, on medication, have a medical condition, or on a weight control program, consult your physician before using Isagenix products or making any other dietary changes. Discontinue if an adverse event occurs.